Good morning.
Good morning.
I'm going to start with the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, and verse 29. Putting to talk about the new man in here. It says, that you put off concerning your conduct the old man which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, renewed in the spirit of mind, and that you put on the new man which created it according to in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let you speak truth with his name, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down in wrath, nor give place to the devil. Him who stole, steal, but rather labor, working with his hands, what is good, that he may have something to give him as need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart to the hearers. Now, I listen to Christian radio at times, and there's one thing that Max Lucado spoke of, heard that a couple times now. We've got other things he shares on Christian radio. And what he did, it's going by example, tell us, and I'll just paraphrase this, if you want to, remove back from your brother's eye, you take the log out of your own. So what he's also saying, dealing with, do you want to change the world? And says, okay, go look in the mirror and it starts with yourself. That's those type of things that we really have to pay attention to now, because we know what to do today. Each and every, everybody bow their head and join in prayer. Dear Lord, we're with you, Father God. We're in this praise and worship of you. Coming up, that we honor the Father, Lord, for what you're doing in our lives, the trials, tribulations, everything that's going on. Father God, thankful for that because we need to go through this at this time. Continue to sharpen iron, And you know, when you're in the fire, all we have to do is with us. God's with us. Am I going through? He's with us. It starts with him and ends on a daily basis. If we can to do that, we need to be clothed in the truth. We need to have a hunger for you, Lord Jesus, always. We need to be, so once, and not grieve the Spirit. We need to be ready to stay in unity, continue, each one of us, to do in our lives, as Lord, we've read from the Word, continue to, that we draw strength from you. Each and every day is a new day. That's why he says, one at a time, enough is in it that day, and that's this day, too. You know, it's a day to praise you. It's also a day of learning. We're getting nurtured. Now we're on those highways and byways. Even though we see and we hear things that go on in this world today, I'm telling you, it just comes up. Just come here. I know that. Father, we know those type of things. Draws us to him. We get a stake during these times. So whatever we're doing in word or in prayer, I know Holy Spirit telling us we need to do more. We need closer to him. And whatever we do time-wise, I mean, that's up to you, and double it or do whatever, but take time, because I'll tell you, the day goes a lot better. I tell you, trust me, I trust the Lord, because it's things he wants to draw close. He wants you calling out on him, calling his and his righteousness and all he had done to us. Things that we, and even in sin, you know, people see in secret times, and we think, no, I don't know about that now. God's probably tugging at our heart. Now there's maybe a conviction. You know, Tom, you got to work in that area. You're weakened in that, holding you back, separating you from me. So those type of things, if we'll take it to heart, those type of things, which I'm talking about, you know, overall, or what get set free from that. You know, we can move on and do the things that we're calling with joy, Lord, our strength. You know, all those type of things in us. That day will be a day. You know, be a good day. So we need to do those things and continue to draw close to Him. Anoint passes power and tongue as the word through Him, the living water this morning. Take it, receive what we need to receive, and then go out to those highways. And if it's today or it's any day, help us so we can do all Christ Jesus that strengthens us. He is us is greater than he is in the world. So realize some of those priests we read that's in our hearts and our minds. It's about the timing is always right. You know his time is perfect. So he's going to help you. Don't you have to say, and when you say, just trust in him. And we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.
And just before we get into the word, I do say that in New Hampshire, this coming Tuesday is primary day, where you get the vote in your primary, whether you're Republican or Democrat. This is a Republican ballot. I've got a bunch of these out on the table in the fellowship. And there's also this right here, which is right in the stack of sample ballots. The Cornerstone's official recommendation for the governor's race. It's interesting to note that what the recommendation is to boycott the GOP primary for governor. I'm not telling you to do that. I'm just saying read why they say that. I have a high research for Cornerstone at policy research. Yes. They are spot on. The one candidate, Neil Huback, is a friend of mine. But when I read this, I have to prayer. I ask you to do the same, but I do ask you to read. Those are out there if you need any further action. I'd be glad to talk with you after the service. Psalm 50. Stand for the reading of God's word. I know you've been quite a bit, so am I, and I'm still standing. Ezra once read the law to Israel, and they had to stand. And they stood for the whole 6 hours. Raining. So I'm for a couple minutes. Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, into your loving kindness, the multitude of your tender mercies. But my transgression washed me thoroughly from iniquity and cleansed me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against you, you only have only and done this evil in your sight, that you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. Behold, I brought forth in iniquity, and in sin mother conceived me. Behold, you desire true parts, and in the hidden part you will make no wisdom. Drop down to verse 10. Create in me a clean heart, and renew a steadfast spirit in me. Do not cast me away from your presence, and do not your Holy Spirit from me. Restore to me the joy of your salvation, and uphold me by your generous spirit, that I will teach transgressors your ways, and sinners shall be converted to you. For I thank you for your word. And our God, that you will cause you to be clear to us today, that you revelation of your word, a word, understanding, a deep understanding of your word. Holy Spirit, you are known as the teacher. You are known as the comfort. I pray that you come and comfort us in your word, just in your word, and instruct us. And pray, Father, for every single one of us, myself, Lord, that we will have ears to hear what you are saying by your Spirit through your word this morning. That your word is an amen.
That's right.
Hold to your word, Lord, that we will be obedient to your word, Lord, even in areas where we have to be. We praise you for that. You have ears to hear what you're saying in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Now, last week, I only got to give sort of a precursor or an introduction to this message. It's today and next week, probably. I say that because I'm never really quite sure how God's going to lead in this. But Kathy traveled 9,500 miles in 2 months. At a ball, we had a lot of fun. We got to see various churches. We went to church every Sunday. Thank you for your exhortation, because I firmly believe that I need to be. I need to. You don't need to, maybe, but I need church every day, Sunday. You know, every time I can gather together with God's people, we need each other. We desperately need each other. As the Scripture says, "Forsake not the assembling of yourselves," is the manner of some. But all the more as you see that the day of King. And I don't know about you, but I'm seeing that great Lord approaching fast. And it comes closer and closer. The enemy fell up his head more and more. And we need each other, man. I can't be by myself. I need you. You need me. We need each other. Amen. Praise God. Sometimes the body of Christ is like a pack of porcupine. You know, we keep hugging to stay warm with each other, pricking each other at the same time. You know? But that's where we suffer with the infirmities of the weak.
Yeah.
And I'm telling you right now, I'm a weak with my infirmities, as I will suffer with yours. As we traveled, I heard a message. It came in very diverse, but I heard a consistent message that I believe God is speaking to the church throughout the United States. I believe that he says there's two parts. Number one, he is calling you and he's calling to a new level, a new depth of repentance. A new level, a new depth of repentance. We all have our lives, me included, that I'm saying for years, Lord, I know it's a problem, I know it's a difficulty, I know it's sin, I'll deal with it sooner or later. I believe calling his people start dealing with it now.
Right.
Now's the acceptable, except now of your salvation. That word salvation that Paul used meant deliverance. Right. Now is your day of deliverance. So this two-part, one calling his people to deeper of understanding repentance, but walking it out. One thing that God is, we heard consistently, God wants to bring an overwhelming joy upon people. Hallelujah for that. It's the title of the series, Pursuing an Overwhelming Joy. Do you want to pursue overwhelming joy?
Yeah,
do you want joy in your heart to just be flowing out, that you just, it just pulls out of you? It just has to flow out.
Yeah.
You want that?
Yeah.
Well, what that needs for that to happen is a level of repentance you have. Because the things that you or I have been neglecting, dealing with, is a weight that is upon you. It may be a weight you don't even realize you're carrying because you've been carrying it for so long. But when you confess to Jesus, I mean confess it to Jesus, take ownership of it, and then deal with it, that weight that you don't even is there comes off of you. You all of a sudden feel like you're floating. You know, maybe you need to tie a rope around your leg so you don't float away. But you just feel light when you truly, and you get rid of stuff, you get light. And you become light, and you become light to us. Not just light in way, but the light of Jesus begins to shine through you in ways that it never has before. So here, in Psalm 51, we have a man, David, who is called messing around with a woman named Bathsheba. Excuse me. That happens when I swallow down the wrong pipe. And David even tried to cover it up using Bathsheba's husband. Didn't play the game and ended up having him murdered on battlefield. Where David should have been to begin with.
That's
right. And then Nathan comes to him and tells a story. In that story, David hears the story and gets angry and says, that man needs to be slain. Nathan said, you're the man. You're the man. You had all kinds of your own, and you go mess with else's. And David recognized it, agreed with it, then came to God in prayer. And this Psalm 51 is His prayer. He starts out by saying, have mercy on me, O God. According to loving kindness, according to the multitude of your mercies, blot out my actions, wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, and cleanse from my sin. And nobody really likes to hear preaching about sin. It's a difficult subject, yet we all deal with it. Because we all sin and fall short of God's glory. Amen? I'm not alone in that boat. I got a lot in that boat with me. And the one that says, oh, goodness. Uh-huh. I love you, David. You're just so much fun to pick on. But here, David's, have mercy upon me, O God. They say he's crying out, have mercy. And the word mercy is used, particular word that's used there, is shanan, to bend or stoop in kindness to and in. A specific word there that they, oh God, bow down in kindness to me who is an inferior to you. See, David was automatically right here, right off the bat, is saying, God, you're God and I'm God and I'm not.
Right.
You understand that?
Amen.
You're not life.
Oh, boy. Yeah.
When I ever try to run my life, I make a host of it. When I turn it on over to God, I know this person who is. Shall we say, very, very critical of the church. in this whole area. Just, there's not a church here that has got it together, like, you know, and he criticized. And I saw his Facebook post the other day, and I looked at it and actually had to start laughing, because on it it says, God is pilot. Listen to me. I don't want to be my co-pilot. I want to be his. I want him. In the driver's seat, to be in the back seat. You ever remember, David? Maybe remember that old song, years and years ago. And I'm riding in the back seat. Remember that? Maybe we practice singing it for special music somewhere. That is, it's a fun song. Yeah, it's a. we'll get the Tom over the tambourine. You know, Tom, you bruised your leg on that. And that's a whole different. Winchester Jug Band. That's a whole different story. That was a whole different story. The funny part about that was that was 30 years ago or so, before Grace Christian Fellowship, and we had who was the band with us?
Cousin Joe.
Joe. I realize it, but in that jug band, we ended up getting a salvation message, and Joe, the band, got saved. Hallelujah. Let me tell you something. We'll seek you out. But here, David is, in fact, God is God. Have mercy to bend and stand in kindness to an inferior. According to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercy, blot out my transgressions. Wash me thorough my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. That's a threefold thing, right? He said, blot out my transgressions, the actions that I did that were wrong, the acts of my life that go against you, Lord. Blot them out. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity, from my very ability to sin. The word iniquity that is used there is a one, and it's a guilt from conscious wrongdoing. It's a character flaw that opens the door to sin. See, it's not sin itself, but it's old nature that's in you. That's supposed to be identified with Christ. And yet we still drive around sometimes and give him authority in our lives. That's iniquity. What shall we say? Shall we continue in sin? Sin that grace may have. Romans chapter 6, verse 1. May it never. How can we who are dead to sin, dragging it around, continue longer? Well, we continue in it as we keep dragging around. David here is saying, you know, blot out my transgressions, the very actions that I. Wash me thoroughly from the cares that cause me to sin. He says, and cleanse me from my sin. So my transgressions is the action, and wash me thoroughly from iniquity, that's the ability, and cleanse me from my sin, the very sin. You know, sin stains you, it stains me. You know what a sort of stain is? You know, you have a white shirt and you get blood on it. What happens? It's stained. What do you have to do? It has to be out. And Jesus very clearly tells us in his word, he said, though your sins are as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. What does that mean? That means that because of the red blood of Jesus, that the stain of their sin that has been in you for your whole life is now not just blotted out, but bleached, gone. Hallelujah. Praise God, man. You know, David understood this. And man, God, you know, blot out my, just get rid of them. Literally from the iniquity, from my very ability to sin, and cleanse me from the very, oh, hallelujah. Let me tell you something. The work of the cross is complete. It is complete. It lacks nothing, and it doesn't leave you. Hallelujah. Jesus was hung on the cross. So you don't, yet. Paul said to the Galatians chapter 2, verse 20, I am crucified with, that's right. It is no longer I live, but Christ who lives in me. Hallelujah. And the life that I now live, I live how? But by the force of the glory of God. Hallelujah. Yeah. Praise God. I'm preaching that message today. Not here, though. And Kathy and I have been invited. You remember, you know, George, who knows George Bullock? Pastor George Bullock from the Brothers and Sons. Well, they're celebrating his 14th year as a senior pastor next Sunday at 4 o'clock down in Boston, and they've asked me to keynote speaker. And that's so much fun. They are so much fun. Anybody wants to come with me, let me know. You know, you can ride down with us. It's going to be a fun. It starts at 4 o'clock, and who knows when we'll be back. But I was asked to be the keynote speaker, and I wrestled with that. And what can I say? I mean, this man is to me, is an icon of the Word of God. Senior pastor, and he's 90 years old. And this man can preach. You know, if you've ever been to one of men's conferences we've had here, we've had Pastor George preach, and we'll tell you, I just love him. And here I've been to address him. And all I could think of is Galatians 2:20. You know, he was one of the things that I wrestled with when I really wanted to retire. Somebody to take my place here so that I could, and God made us not to retire. Bullock was somebody who God brought to mind. That man waited and was 78 years old before he came senior pastor.
Wow.
78.
Wow.
Me, 71. He'd been going at it for 14 years now. And the man, open the Word of God. Yeah. Now, I'm getting off on a rabbit hole here. Anyways, I really am sure looking forward to it. So if you would like to come down, let me know. So David here, blot out my transgressions, wash me from my iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. Why? Because I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is always before me. Against and you only have I sinned and done evil in your sight. They be found just when you speak and blame you judge. For I acknowledge transgressions. Do you acknowledge your treaty for the Lord? In 1 John chapter 1, turn with that there with me. First John. In 1 John chapter 1. My pages are sticking together. 1 John chapter 1. In verse 8. I want you to read this. I could quote it. To read it. I want to memorize. Verse 8 says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. If we confess our sin, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. He cleanses me from my transgressions, he chooks me from the iniquity, and he cleanses me from the very sin itself. It's a done deal. But you need to confess your sins before the Lord. And that's what he's saying here. John was saying, if we confess sins, you know what the word confess means? The word confess means I agree with that. What I did was wrong. I don't try to sugarcoat it. I don't try to reason it away. I don't try to use my intellectual thing to try and wish it away. Confess it. It is. I agree with you. God did was wrong. And this is what he said. David said in verse 3, it says, for I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin lays before me. In Proverbs 28:13, you see, who covers his sins will prosper, but confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. Now, what the writer is saying here is that you will not prosper if you're covering your sin. You will not prosper because you're going to stay in that sin. He says, whoever confesses and forsakes them will have mercy. So what is this? Confess it and forsake it. Confess it and that's what repentance is, forsaking the sin, walking away from it, turning away from it. You will have mercy. You can't prosper any more than that than have the mercy of God on you. Amen? All right, back to our text. You and you only have done this evil. In between you and you only sinned. You cannot blame anybody else for the sin that is in your life. I cannot blame. I can say, God, I realize that I got angry and that anger was righteous anger, but it was all Kevin's fault. That will not two ways. It will not fly with God, and it ain't going to fly with Kevin. In fact, cause more trouble. Not blame anybody. In Genesis chapter 3, most of you probably know this, some of you may not, so go to it. Genesis chapter 3. I want you to look with me, please, on verse 9. 9 of Genesis chapter 3. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" This is after they ate that peach. I still would swear, I would not be tempted by an apple. But be with a good ripe peach. So I don't know what your theology says, but I'm the one in the court right now. So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." He said, God said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten of which I commanded you that you should? And the man said, this is what Adam said, "The woman whom you gave gave me of the tree, and I ate." It's her fault. And it didn't fly very far either, did it? No, I'd like to hear what's going to go else when you get home. No. Hey, wait a minute. Whoa. You may say that, and I have to ask your wife. The Lord said to the woman, "What is this that John?" And the woman said, "The serpent deceived me, and I ate." You hearing this? He did, and I ate. It's all the serpent's fault.
What did the serpent say?
The serpent said, "I'm out of here," because the serpent knew what was coming. See, listen, please. David, he came to the Lord in prayer. See, Psalm 51 is David praying God, and what we're doing is taking a look. A good snapshot of all of these things that he said, and that against you and only I have sinned. He took full responsibility. The one thing that kind doesn't like to do. We don't like in a lot of different ways. If things go awry, we don't want to take responsibility. Listen, the book stops here. And David said, "Against you and you have I sinned and done evil in your sight." Maybe found just when you speak and blameless judge. He says, another way of saying when you speak can be translated that you may be found just in your word. Not just when you speak, but you're in your word. This is a day and end. God is going to know how just he is. Study him. Study the word of God you're studying. And if you don't know the word, you know God. I stand on that. If you don't know the word of God, know God. You know about him, but you're not going to have a deep, intimate relationship with him, because this is the handbook for the believer. This is the instruction manual for the believer. This is God's word, and he is just in his word, and he's blameless when he judges. Savior, I throw myself to your mercy, because I know that you we found just in your word, and that you are blameless when you judge. Whatever judgment you render upon me for my sin, I graciously receive, because I know that you are just, and I know that you are blameless, and I know that you love me. Behold, let's go on. Behold, I was born in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived. I read this, and I was like. What is he trying to say here? Is he blaming his mother? No, he's not. It's just David surrounded by sin. He just felt surrounded by sin. He said, "Behold, you hold your desire truth in the inward parts, and in the heart you will make me to know." Even in the midst of the fact that I am surrounded, it seems like I've been surrounded by sin since I was born. I know that you deserve truth in the inward parts. Jesus said in John chapter 8, look with me there, John chapter 8. John chapter 8, 31 and 32. Jesus said to the Jews who believed him, Now, I don't think there's anybody Jewish, but do you believe him?
Yes.
Do you believe him?
Yes,
do you really believe God and his word?
Yes.
Then Jesus said to those who believe him, to the Jews that believed him, believe, you abide in my word. You are my disciples indeed. Remember that David said, you may be found just when you speak, or you be found just in your word, and blameless when you. And then Jesus said to the Jews, he says, if you abide in my word, you are disciples indeed. And verse 30, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know what the truth is? You're I'm sorry to say that. We all in the same boat. We all same barrel. And we're all pickled. We're all in that pickle barrel. You know, and we all sin. We all fall short of God's glory. But it says here, the truth will set you free. Once I recognize that I am a sinner, and once I recognize that Jesus paid the price for me on the cross, and I can confess my sins, He is faithful to forgive me of my sins and cleanse me from all unrighteousness. He blots out my transgressions, erases my iniquity, and He cleanses me from my sin. Hallelujah. Praise God. Somebody get excited about that.
Right.
Hallelujah for that. You know, God is good all the time. All the time, God is good. Behold, I was brought forth in, and in sin my mother conceived me. Behold, you desire truth in the inner parts, and in the hidden part you will make me to know wisdom. Hallelujah. Psalm 19, verse 105. Just a few pages over. Psalm 19, the longest psalm in the book. Verse 105. Your word. Say
a word.
Is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn that I will keep your righteous judgment. Now go back to Psalm 119, verse 11. Your word. Say
your word.
I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. I might sin against you. Doesn't say I will not. It says might not. Because you can hide God's word in your heart. But if you don't pay attention to His word that you've hidden in your heart, you're still going to sin. Amen?
Right.
We know that. I mean, throughout the years, there have been some of the big, heavy hitters in the Christian realm and in the charismatic realm and the non-charismatic realm. They're big, heavy hitters in the word of God, yet they sinned. They fell from the podium they were standing on. They had the word of God hidden in them, but they were not obedient to the word. You see, my children, as they grew up, knew my voice and they knew my law. They did not live within the means that was given to them, then a judgment of dad down. Amen? You have a dad like that? You have a mom that was like that? Yeah. Sometimes it come down a little harder than we should have. When we listen to our father, and we allow to govern our lives. You have to ask your question. Is he Savior? Your Savior? Is he your Lord? Lord. Because Savior, he doesn't come. He's either Lord of your life or he's not. He may be Lord of your life, and you may be have a streak in you. I'm sure he is. You know, but he loves you. Behold, you desire truth in the inwards. It's truth that sets you free. And in the hidden part, to know wisdom. Now, the last scripture I want to go to is in Matthew 25. There's a couple of ones, but I'm just going to go to this one. Matthew 25. We're talking about God wanting wisdom to you as you confess your sin and deal with it. Chapter 25, beginning at verse 1. Then the kingdom of heaven, this is Jesus was teaching this parable. Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. Now 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps and no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their with their lamps. While the bridegroom was delayed, they all slumbered. Midnight a cry was heard. Behold, bridegrooms, go out to meet him. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps, and the foolish said to the give us some of your oil, for our lamps are gone out. But the wise answered, no. lest there should not be for us and you, but go and rather and to those who sell and buy for yourselves. And while by the bridegroom came, and those ready went in with him, and the wedding was shut. Afterward, virgins came also saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, assuredly I say to you, I know you. Watch therefore, for you know the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming. Now, how does that tie in with David in confession of sin? David was filling himself with the oil. See, the oil in the virgins, five had all five. Five had a relationship with the bridegroom, five did. And the five who didn't, when they realized them was coming, they said to the ones who did have the relationship, give us some of that. And they, we can't. You see, I impart my relationship with Jesus to you. I can tell you about it. I can instruct you about it in the Word. I can, but I cannot impart to your relationship with Jesus. It's impossible. Could there be a lot more people saved? If you could, there'd be a whole lot more people saved. All you can do is show people a life filled with the oil of God. And groom comes knocking, and it's getting close. You're going to stand, going to say, you know, I may have sin in my life, struggling with it, but my lamp is full. My lamp is full. You're not going to say, oh, my lamp is empty. What am I going to do? I can't go and buy. It can only be filled by the Holy Spirit.
Right.
And the Holy Spirit will only fill it as I commune Him.
That's right.
Read what's going on in my life. Please, I find that regardless. David was saying, have mercy on me, oh God. Look at what he did. He not only impregnated this woman, murdered her husband so that he could have her, it would be all undercover and nobody would know.
Yeah.
But God, who sent Nathan and exposed it all. And David, rather than saying, well, it was her fault. Yeah, I got up on the rooftop and I learned. And yeah, I was looking at it, but it was her fault because she's the one that was taking a bath on top of her house and exposed herself to me. I just, you know, hormones run, and it was her fault. He didn't. He just cried, have mercy on me, oh God. Blot transgression. Heal me from my iniquity. Cleanse me from sin. Something. God was full. And he did exactly what David cried out. Forgave him, cleansed him, and set him back on the road of righteousness. Next week we're going to look at how that joy was released in David because he was willing to get rid with God and deal with the thing God wanted him to do. Amen? So I ask you this, is there something that God's been knocking on your heart? Is there an area of life that you still have yet to submit to God? The Bible says, submit to God, resist the devil, and he will flee. But you have to submit it to God. And if you want to be cleansed, then I'm not going to ask you to confess it to me. But I'm going to say that we're going to stand and ask the Lord, I want to bless you in the name of Jesus. And then give you the courage to face what he's calling you. Deal with what he wants you to do with. And be released from it. Yeah, that's the neat thing, experiencing God's forgiveness is that on. Just feel like you're floating around in the room of God, and you just start listening to Him. David said, you do God, and I'm going to teach sinners your way. I'm going to praise you with high praises next week. I'll dance for you. I'll do a ghost jig. I'm just going to walk. Let's stand. Hallelujah. So I bless you We're going to close in a song, but I'm going to bless you. This is my privilege to do this each week.
Yes.
Even in prayer, I bless you each week. All of us gone. But the Lord bless you. And you. The Lord make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift up countenance upon you and give you peace. But he will give you peace in knowing that whatever it is you're struggling with, he is more than enough to help you deal with it. He will release it from you. He will take it from you to release it to him. Confess your sins, and he is faithful and just to forgive your sins and cleanse you from all unrighteousness. He wants to fill you with overwhelming joy, but he will not fill you with that overwhelming joy. Deal with the sin that he has asked to deal with. Don't hold it off. Right. Now is the accepted time. Now is the deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you need